Welcome back to our study of Leviticus. We are in chapter 20 and we are on verse 3.
Let's apologize. At the end of the last session, something was going on with the mixer board. The reason we went in and out, so we had to reset the mixer board. Hopefully we'll be okay. We thought it was a mic problem, but it was a board problem.
Thank you for fixing that. Verse 3, "And I will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people, because he has given of his seed unto Molech to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name."
So, same law. God didn't have two sets of laws, but one law governed all. And Molech was a god that people would offer their child to. In other words, they're killing their child for this god, what it boils down to. And God forbid that nobody was to offer their son or daughter to Molech. Okay? Didn't matter if they were an Israelite born or if they were a foreigner. No one in the land was to participate in this type of idol worship. And then if they did this, he was to be cut off. And so the Lord is protective of his name. When you do things again, ungodly, perverted things like that, is profaning the name of the Lord. You're saying you're doing that to God? God saves lives. He's not taking lives, and especially the lives of innocent children.
I couldn't imagine.
But sadly, some of the kings of Israel, some of the kings of Judah, would offer their sons as sacrifices.
Yeah. Verse 4, "And if the people of the land do any ways hide their eyes from the man, when he giveth of his seed unto Molech, and kill him not, then I will set my face against that man and against his family, and will cut him off, and all that go whoring after him, to commit whoredom with Molech from among the people."
Now, you think God's not serious about this? He says if an Israelite saw someone give one of the descendants to Molech and did not kill him, then he would set his face against that man and against that man's family, and he declared that he would cut off that man and anyone else who actually prostituted themselves with Molech, is what it was about. And so it was not only, you didn't do it. If you saw someone do it, then you better stand up and get that eradicated out of the land. Because it's going to end up working against you if you don't.
What was said, help me remember, on Sunday, when good men do nothing,
evil prevails.
Evil prevails. We have a lot of that going on now, don't we?
You see, so many people, they don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to the things of God, we're under obligation to be involved. When we see God violated, then we're to stand against that. And obviously, you can't, in this country, you couldn't just kill someone for doing something wrong. If you did, we'd have massacres. When you see all the protests and all the perverts and all this type thing. And so it's a different way. It's the leadership's responsibility, the judges, to judge righteously and not to take bribes. Sadly, that went away from this nation many years ago, and the judges are supporting the perversion rather than godliness. And they're trying to stack the deck with judges, you understand? to get the perverts to judge. And it's not going to happen forever. God will deal with that. Amen. You understand?
And the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits and after wizards to go whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people.
So when God's telling the Israelites to consecrate themselves to him, to serve him, because he's their God. Consecrate yourself to me. And it's amazing to me how heathen are more dedicated to their gods that are false gods than Christians are to the true God.
Wow.
They'll do all kinds of crazy things for false God. And that's an indictment against us. But we're to consecrate ourselves to the Lord. We're to be holy to the Lord, set apart for the Lord, dedicated to the Lord, however you want to say that, to where we're keeping God to the forefront, and we're to pay attention to God's word, God's ways, and implement them. Under the old covenant, they were to implement the law. Not just talk about it, but practice it. Under the new covenant, we're to implement being led by the Spirit of God. We're to implement fulfilling the will of God, God speaking, us obeying. See, the obedience part hasn't changed. God expects us to obey. But instead of God dealing with us through external laws, God deals with us in our heart. And you remember what he said, I'm going to write the laws in your heart. And so God deals with us in our heart, and he expects us to follow those promptings in our heart and to implement whatever it is he's saying to do or not to do.
Yeah, that's good. Sanctify yourselves, therefore, and be you holy, for I am the Lord your God, and you shall keep my statutes and do them. I am the Lord which sanctify you.
You think about the severity of this. Anyone who mocked his father or mother was to be killed. The shedding of the blood was brought about by his disrespect toward the father and the mother. Do you look at the disrespect of kids today? Here again, I mean, you'd have mass killings because of disrespect and dishonor. And it's showing you something. It's a submission to authority. You understand? Everyone has an authority. I don't care who you are. Everyone has an authority. God, Jesus, man, his wife, the children. You understand? And if you work in any business, you have an authority over you. If you're self-employed, then the people you work for have authority over you. You do it their way. So everybody's accountable to somebody. You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're to take this very seriously. And then you think of the ripple effect that this has had. And you think about the professing Christians who say they're born again and how disrespectful they are to Father God. They're dishonoring, disrespecting. And there's so much going on right now that it's really disturbing. And it's, to me, things that are taking place on the platform in churches and meetings are, it's like spitting in the face of God. It's not honoring God. You want to be your person. You want your identity. You want to dress a certain way. You want to have a certain look. You want this. You want that. And first God in this scenario. And I'm not a clothesline preacher. I'm not telling you what to wear and stuff like that. I'm just saying honor God. Honor God. Quit trying to do your thing. Quit trying to be like someone else, stereotyping and all this. and follow the Spirit of God on the inside of it. And if he's not there, then I recommend getting along with God. And don't go away until the Spirit of God's living in you. You understand? Then you have that law written in your heart. Then you'll do right by God. Not just doing your thing. Not being disrespectful to Father God.
It's good. You know, we have to, as Pete was saying, keep that before us. I choose my best to try to keep that before me. Would I be comfortable if Jesus were to come and physically, if I were to be face to face with him, would I be comfortable with that? Would he be comfortable with me? It's just something to think about. We have lost so much respect these days. I got behind you, so I'm going to get caught up with you. Verse 10. And a man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death.
My goodness, if you enforce that today, you'd diminish the population dramatically, wouldn't you? But God hasn't changed his mind. What God wants you to do is repent. You understand? Repent and accept the forgiveness of sin and turn. Repent's turning. In other words, he's just saying here, he didn't approve it under the old covenant. God doesn't approve it under the new covenant. He hadn't changed his mind. He just deals with it differently.
That's good. Verse 11. And the man that lieth with his father's wife hath uncovered his father's nakedness. Both of them shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
You know, let me go back to that. And when you look at what's commonly called the Beatitudes, Matthew 5:7, mm-hmm. Jesus in his Sermon on the Mount, as it's also called, he said, you've heard it said, you're not to commit adultery. But I say, if you look or lust in your heart, mm-hmm. you've already done. And so the law dealt with the act.
Right.
Jesus deals with the heart to prevent the act.
Mm-hmm.
You see where I'm coming from?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
That's good.
And then you read the next one, right?
Yes, sir.
Which should be self-explanatory. You know, if a man has sexual relations with his father's wife, then they're both to be killed.
Mm-hmm.
His son and his wife. They brought about, it's like this, their blood's on their own head. They brought about their own death.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Verse 12. And if a man lie with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have wrought confusion. Their blood shall be upon them.
You see, these things have been covered earlier, but now he's telling you the penalty for doing it.
Right.
It's a death penalty.
Mm-hmm.
And for all those people that don't believe in capital punishment, you ought to get in agreement with God. God believes in capital punishment. You understand? The law's for the lawless. And so you have to have something in place to keep things under control if a man's conscience is not controlling him. You get a man born again full of the Spirit of God, then he doesn't need the external laws. He has the internal governing him. But you take the heathen out here that doesn't want anything to do with God, you better have some laws in place to govern him.
Yeah.
Or you'll see the mess that you're seeing in this nation now.
Mm-hmm. Verse 13. If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them.
So, For all those that are just saying they're born this way and all that, well, you'd be dead. If you were under the law, God would have you put to death, okay? No male to male, no female to female. It's confusion. They can't reproduce. You understand? Mm-hmm. And so it's a perversion. God calls it abomination, which means it's disgusting. And so what you approve of is disgusting to God. Mm-hmm. And God hasn't changed his mind from the Old Testament to the New Testament. Romans chapter 1 deals with this very thing. But here's the way God deals with it under the new covenant. He just turns you over to yourself and lets you self-destruct. Under the law, they killed him. But under grace, God will give you opportunity after opportunity to repent. But when you don't want to repent, he'll just turn you to yourself and let you destroy yourself.
That's right. I heard that. That's exactly right. It's still death, isn't it? Where am I? 14. And if a man take a wife and her mother, it is wickedness. They shall be burnt with fire, both he and they, that there be no wickedness among you.
Here again, just a reiteration, if you will, of what he's already said, you don't marry a woman and her daughter. Now, you'd think that'd be common sense. But I've learned that common sense is not common anymore. And so you just have to tell people truth, you know.
I was thinking about turning people over to themselves. You've seen it. And you see just the state that people are in, some people, it's just a shame. And if a man lie with a beast, he shall surely be put to death, and ye shall slay the beast.
You look at this. It says that if a man had sexual relationships with his sister's work, they would be publicly killed.
Yes.
As an example to other people, and then they're held accountable for their own wickedness, you understand?
And then not to mention, man or woman lying with a beast, they need to be killed and the animal needs to be killed.
Well, you're talking about confusion personified. And that's what that, you kill the animal and the person. You don't leave that to reproduce in earth, you know, not that they'll reproduce, but you can't let that just run rampant. And you would be amazed at how much of that occurs today. You'd be amazed. The pornographic people are making millions of dollars off of this type of perversion.
I didn't know it was a thing until I read it here. I'm glad of that.
Well, I don't recommend going in and researching it.
Don't worry.
I certainly don't.
And if a man shall lie with a woman having her sickness, and shall uncover her nakedness, he hath discovered her fountain, and she hath uncovered the fountain of her blood, and both of them shall be cut off from among their people.
Well, he talks about cleanliness, purity, and all this. And so even though a man's married to a woman, he is to abstain from sexual relations during the menstrual period. You see what God has to say about it? God designed the cycle, you understand? And I don't understand everything, I'm not God. But he has a purpose in all this. And you think about this, every month that woman had to go through the purification process, the cleansing, and all that. And God said to the man, don't touch her during this time. Okay? Now, if you know more about that, I'll let you teach me. But I just know that God says, don't do it, and that's good enough. And I don't believe he changed his mind from Old Testament to New Testament.
No. Verse 19. And thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, nor of thy father's sister. For he uncovereth his near kin, they shall bear their iniquity.
Now here we don't get a lot of detail, but he's told us that you don't have sexual relations with your aunt or with your uncle. And you'll be held responsible for, he calls it, that evil act. Now, where at some places he says kill them. They'll be cut off. Here he doesn't say other than they will be held accountable for that evil act. Here's the bottom line. It's an evil act. Stay away from it. If it was an evil act then, it's an evil act now.
Verse 20. And if a man shall lie with his uncle's wife, he hath uncovered his uncle's nakedness. They shall bear their sin. They shall die childless.
Now here it says they'll be childless.
Mm-hmm. And if a man shall take his brother's wife, it is an unclean thing. He hath uncovered his brother's nakedness. They shall be childless.
Now, here again, you have to get all the law together, okay? This is while his brother's living. Because the law said, if a man's brother died and they didn't have children, then he was under obligation to take his brother's wife to bring up a child. In other words, to keep that his brother's name alive. Okay, so you have to take all this together. But this is talking about basically an adulterous act. Your brother's living, you're taking his brother's wife. You know, this is what got John the Baptist ultimately beheaded.
Yeah.
Because Herod had married his brother's wife. And John called him on it for violating the law. And it made Herodias so mad that she got his head on a platter, literally. If you've ever heard the phrase, that's where it comes from.
Ye shall therefore keep all my statutes and all my judgments and do them, that the land whither I bring you to dwell therein spew you not out.
So there's a summary here. Pay attention to what I'm saying. All these statutes, all these judgments, you listen to them and you implement them. Put them into practice. You think about this. God says, I've given you the land. Now you respect the land. The people who were living here prior to you didn't respect the land. They were in all these perverted things. And I've driven them out. And if you do what they did, I'll drive you out. Now, history tells us that that's exactly what happened to Israel and Judah. Because they would not listen to the Word of God. They wanted to be like the world. The church wants to be like the world. And God wants us separated from the world.
Yeah.
We're not to be like the world. We should be so distinctly different that people know that, boy, they're not like me. Whether they say it as a slur or whether they say it as a compliment, that's irrelevant. The fact is we should be that different because we live by a higher standard than the world. I'm not talking about looking weird. I'm talking about living godly. We looked weird growing up. The group I was in. You stood out in the crowd. But I don't think God put his stamp of approval on all that. Because he can get some of these long haired, no makeup, long dress, long tongued women. That's misrepresenting God. You with me? Now get off base?
Nice.
Okay.
Sir.
I just believe you ought to tell it like it is.
I was just thinking about the long time.
Yeah, I want to tell it for you to understand it, okay?
Yeah.
And I'm speaking from experience of what I grew up in. And the things that I was exposed to, and the things that I heard, and the things that split the church. Mm-hmm. And you want to call that holiness? By whose standard? Certainly not God's. Mm-hmm. God's standard of holiness is living a clean life from the inside out, not trying to look like something on the outside, and then being mean-spirited inside. Moving right along, right?
Yes, sir. 23. And ye shall not walk in the manners of the nation which I cast out before you, for they committed all these things, and therefore I abhorred them.
So we've already told you that God didn't approve of the practices of the people who were in the land, the Canaanites, and God would not approve of the practices of the Israelites who followed that pattern. God said, you live by my standard. Don't you follow them. Don't you be intrigued with that. Don't get enticed with those things. And I've been exposed to enough other religions in traveling in different countries that it's amazing what they use to entice people. Sex is one of the things they use to entice people in some of the religions. I mean, you have your temple prostitutes, you understand? And so what's that doing? That's just baiting people to perverse activity. Okay? Stay away from it. I do not go on the devil's territory knowingly. When I go in these countries and they say, you want to take a tour of the temple? I say, absolutely not. I don't want any part of it. I don't want to expose myself to it. I've seen it from a distance and it grieved my heart to see what people so deceived and seeing how the agony of the people with a false hope. That's why you take the gospel to them. Mm. You give them a genuine hope, a true hope. You have to tell people truth or they follow a lie.
But I have said unto you, ye shall inherit their land, and I will give it unto you to possess it. A land that floweth with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people.
I'm the Lord your God who separated you from other nations. Jesus is our Lord who has separated us from the world. You understand that?
Mm-hmm.
And so we're not to participate and be enticed with the things of the world. We're to be separate from the world, just like Israel was to be separate from these other nations, and not enticed with their ungodly practices. God wanted them to know the difference between clean and unclean. So he gave them laws. Am I ahead of you? Go ahead.
Okay. Ye shall therefore put differences between clean beasts and unclean, and between unclean fowls and clean, and ye shall not make your souls abominable by beast or by fowl, or by any manner of living thing that creepeth on the ground, which I have separated from you as unclean.
What you think about this? One of the things that I see in God declaring what animals they could eat, what animals they couldn't eat, clean, unclean. God is developing or wanting to develop a discipline in His people. I want you to know clean from unclean. Well, today it's not about food. It's about practices. I want you to know the difference between clean and unclean. What's acceptable, what's unacceptable. You with me? It's amazing to me what churches embrace.
Yeah.
That's disgusting to God, but they embrace them. It's unclean. And we need to be able to distinguish between the clean and the unclean. So God has given us His Word to where we'll know the difference between what God accepts and what the world accepts, what God rejects and what the world rejects. But it's a discipline. It's a tremendous discipline to follow the ways of God. The ways of the world just come natural. But you follow the ways of God, you're swimming upstream. You're going against the current. You're not going with the flow. You're not the status quo. Not even in the religion. You understand? If you're going to follow God, you have to come out of that religious mindset to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal thing.
Yeah.
It's not corporate. It's personal.
Yeah.
And if you just join the organization and you jump through the hoops of the organization, where's your personal relationship with Jesus? Where's the intimacy? Where's the communication? And we talked earlier about Sabbath being every day, because Sabbath being Jesus. And so we should be resting in Him every day, consciously aware of God in us. God in us. In living our lives, Lord, I want to please You because I love You. Not afraid of You, but boy, do I respect You. You always say when you come on the scene, fear not. But You're so awesome, I want to fall on my face. You understand? It's almost paradoxical when you think about it. You're not to be afraid of God, but you're to have the awesome respect for God. You with me?
That's great. Verse 26, "And ye shall be holy unto me, for I am the Lord, for I the Lord am holy, and have severed, thank you, you from other people, that ye should be mine."
There is no God on the planet Earth like God, like our God.
That's true.
He's the only living God. You with me? And He is so distinctly different. He's a God of wisdom. He's a God of power. You understand? He's a God that can tell you what's going to happen before it happens, because He knows the end from the beginning. There's no other God that can make that boast. You understand? God says, "I'm different from all other gods that you've ever seen or will encounter. I want you to be different from all other people. I want you to be as distinctly different from the people of the world as I am from the gods that the world worships." You see that?
Yeah.
Well, here again, we're talking about something inward that motivates us to just pursue God. And when you're pursuing God, you're going to be different.
last verse. A man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit or that is a wizard shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them.
So what do you do with these mediums? What do you do with a witch? What do you do with a wizard? What do you do with these people? Under the law, you killed them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, back many years ago, I taught in public school, and they have career day. And the school I was in was a fairly large school, by our standards anyway. And on career day, they had to go to the auditorium. That was the biggest group for career day, and the career person was a witch. I said, now what is a public education doing bringing a witch on campus and calling it a career? Perversion.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're not to embrace that. We're to abstain from it. Amen.
Amen.
Our time's up, so we're going to have to stop here. I had a girl in my... Father, I thank you for blessing us indeed. You enlarge our territory. Your hand is with us to keep us from evil so that we do not cause pain. You bless us and keep us. You make your face to shine upon us. You're gracious unto us. You lift up your countenance upon us and you give us peace. So, Lord, we invite you to rise up. Let your enemies be scattered, and those who hate you be before you. Amen?
Amen.
Well, thank God the PA system cooperated.